made smoke, whereupon the recce officer led the way down the main road with one troop, the remainder of 4th Troop and 2 Troop following that order. 4th Troop peeled off into the orchard and immediately adopted good fire positions, so on, so on, so on. 6 of the remaining 7 tanks pushed on into the northeast area of St. John Road. One tank caught along the main road as the smoke screen thinned was tailed. For 2 hours, the enemy was engaged from 3 sides, with the battle raging in our favor. Around 2:30, now this again, 2:30 the following day, we had accounted for 8 Panthers as against 5 of our own. However, the position of the 6 tanks northeast of the town had become perilous. 2 tanks KO'd, 2 turrets jammed, another with its crew commander dead. Furthermore, the enemy infantry were carrying the equivalent to our infantry anti-tank bazooka and were a perpetual source of danger as they infiltrated to within 25 yards, etc., etc., etc. Now, goddammit, again, this is the second day, and those tanks, from his description, are behind you.
Yeah. Horse shit. That'll be fun. Certainly there were tanks there that second day, lots of Jerry tanks. I cannot recall our tanks being that close to us or engaging in that type of activity against the enemy tank. I recall the enemy tank sitting there and wondering why the hell we couldn't do something about it. And that's when we got the anti-tank gun up from the anti-tank battery. I can't recall any good tank battle going on, can you, George? And if they certainly were in the orchard, if they were firing from the orchard, nobody enemy was within 25 yards of them when they were there. Because we were there. Unless they consider us to be enemy. No. No. But there certainly were, whether 14 Jerry tanks or not, it seems a little more than I recall. Sitting out in here, as I said, the high ground to our left in here, there was certainly a number, but I would have placed them around 8 or 10 at most, out in around in here, and I said this one guy came right up to this crest here, and then attacked the floor.
I must say one thing about it. They are back on a hill and have a much better view than you would.
They may have seen more tanks than we could possibly see, but certainly when they talk about getting down into the orchard, that's where we were.
Yeah.
And certainly there was no Jerry within 25 yards of the north end of that orchard.
In again, going back to the part of the
tank didn't come within 500 to 1,000 yards of that orchard.
I said it already.
No, there was no tank within 500 to 1,000 yards of North Carolina that orchard during the first 2 days.
No, they were 1,000 yards away. That's more than half a mile away.
But you're right on visibility because the orchard, not only were you lower down, but with the trees of the orchard around.
Oh, no, and the wheat fields and everything else all sloping up. Oh, yeah.
What kind of an orchard was it, do you remember?
No food on when we got there. I don't remember. It had leaves and boughs. That's about all I remember.
I'm just thinking, you know, here it is, what, July, and apples are, you know.
We weren't too horticultural back then,
Again, talking about the 21st, the next day, from somebody's account, I don't know. Again, writer unknown. At about 0230 hours, 2 enemy vehicles proceeding north on the road to Furious Aurora were engaged with Pierce.
That's the one.
Both were KO'd, killed.
That's the Red Cross one.
They say it. That's right. Sergeant McCrae got the first one, which turned out to be a Red Cross half-track carrying ammunition. And Corporal Stetchison got the second, which was a breakdown vehicle. One came out with his hands up and was challenged by Corporal. One behind the vehicle broke and ran in a southeasterly direction across the field, as did the one who came out with his hands up. Corporal shot him dead, but the others eluded capture, although the section went out after them and fired several rounds. Now, Well, who's that one wrote that one? He just said, this observer did this and this observer did that. Again, the 21st seems to be primarily a matter of beating off the bloody tanks. Here's another one. What's this? A Company. Again, talking about the 21st. At 0900 hours, enemy tanks were spotted on the high ground to the east and south. Small tank attacks were met and overcome on the left flank and in C Company area. A company of enemy infantry which infiltrated across the... Across the river to the rear of the battalion position attempted to attack our position in small numbers. And these were thrown back. And many PWs taken by A Company and the Scout Platoon. And again on the 22nd, yeah. Well, I don't know if...
My comment there, George, that the Germans were paying more attention to this high ground to our left, down
here,
and less attention to us.
Yeah.
Now we're being But the tanks had no interest in us whatsoever. They were not firing at us. They were concerned, really, with this route in here.
Yeah.
The tank interest was in there, not here at all.
Yeah.
And they didn't come close enough. No tank was going to come up against an orchard. Ain't no white tank could be knocked off and appeared or something. So that we were relatively free. That we had infantry and we had some machine gun fire and we had mortar and I suppose there was shelling. But the tanks were not, their attention was not directed towards them.
Yeah.
The Essex and the SSR said it.
Is there anything else you can think of that might add to the story which you didn't notice in the war diary or what have you? Anybody win the DSO or? I suppose one could find that, although again that's going into the regimental stuff. You don't have a regimental history, do you?
Yeah, I got the DSO here.
Oh, did you?
During the battle I fought, I got DSO.
Oh, great. Good. You don't have the citation for it by any chance, that one?
Yeah.
Down deep, I suppose.
No, I could find it.
Okay.
When did that come, Norm, when you were in the hospital?
Yeah, well, back in Winnipeg. No, clear our presenter took me in Winnipeg.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, you know, I just asked the war came through and... on the stage and the after, not the afternoon, what they call the building.
Can you remember any incidents yourself, either, you know, either of you, about that particular battle? Humorous or tragic or otherwise?
No, I suppose I remember talking to Peter Lane in the orchard. Peter Lane had been the emperor. Peter Lane had been seconded to the what guards, Coldstream, Grenadier.
When he went to Italy?
When he went to North Africa.
North Africa, yes.
But he went to North Africa with the guards battalion.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this one goes extra.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see much for him, 6 months, never mind. And he fought with them in North Africa. He in fact got a guard commendation, which is about as high as they're about to give to a bloody black troop.
Yeah.
then standing in the orchard, you know, and saying, well, up here, this is a little tougher than the Dieppe. And he said, yeah, it's a lot tougher than North Africa, too.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, sure. And start comparing notes, you see, there. And I suppose, it was tougher than we expected, George.
Oh, there's no question of that.
Oh, yeah.
He had been led to believe that it wasn't going to be difficult.
Yeah, tougher than we expected. But again, took the first battle type of thing, all sorts of things go wrong, and I was telling Chris Nain, in Dieppe, for instance, you find out that you're opening gates or moving around so you don't tear things down and whatnot, we were going to make three of them for a corridor, and finally I had to say it to pretty sick, you know, this isn't an exercise.
your devil now, rip the goddamn fence down, get to it or something, you know.
Right.
And this is your first battle first stuff, you're still imbued with most restrictions that are placed on you.
You're a heavily armed civilian.
Yeah, that's right, but train restraint, you know that.
Yeah.
The trains officer is right behind you type of thing.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. I can recall in the orchard when I was wandering for the troops and seeing a laddie exposed and saying, "For Christ's sake, you're top there, that, get in behind the tree and put your head behind, just look around the tree, see right above this sort of stuff, get in cover."
Yeah.
This sort of thing. You lose a lot of guys are killed before these lessons are learned before they begin to understand the value of their training. And this is the first path of learning.
But it wasn't tough enough, I would say, that in any way it shook morale,
But,
I mean, up to the time I was wounded, I was still convinced that most of the people were, that, it was only a question of a few weeks and we'd be in Germany.
Yeah.
I mean, that sort of belief certainly was never shaken as far as I was concerned.
No, and then we'd gone through 2-3 COs by that time.
Well, the casualties, actually, it'd be interesting to know from the original battalion that sailed from Britain after a month, how many people were left, but it was very heavy and killed and wounded.
Yeah. There is, I don't have it with me, but I know at the Directorate of History, there is a great sheet, huge sheet, not quite as big as this map board, but damn close to it, about as big as this map itself, this stretch over here that you just push over. And they have the days along here and all the regiments down, and you can see the casualties. So by day by day, and you can find out killed, wounded, POW, so on like that. So you can find out for your own regiment.
They're very heavy, I would think.
Well, the old story goes up in waves like that. And you look at a wave, there's an attack.
Well, you were asking about incidents. The only one I can remember that has a slight, I suppose, is a grizzly, but there's a slight touch to it. The day after you were wounded, what was his name, the company commander? Bill Wilson, of A Company. That's when I went over to A Company, and I remember he was lying on the ground there with, unfortunately, got part of his face blown off. And one of the first things I did was to sort of get him in one piece and put him in a ditch and say a few words around him. This was, again, the sort of thing you do when you're not battle experienced. Just started to say the words when these many workers came down and just going in the hips of the
ditch.
So I'm told he didn't have a tin hat on. This is what's called.
That's right.
If he had a tin hat on, he probably didn't get that one anyway. I heard that from Al Wilson. Heard also in St. Andre, when we lost that corner of the village, that when went through it a second time, that here was Chop. Remember Chop? In a room where he had walked in, on the attack, and a Jerry officer and a couple of Jerry soldiers there eating or something. Both surprised and both shot at the same time, both killed. Jerry officer and Chop. Now, is this right or not? I don't know. In a room in a house in the San Antonio Shore. Chop.
He did. Let's see, again, where even were I, my eyes just fell on this. Private Weger, on the battalion signals, kept communications open with brigade for the next 48 hours without any relief from his set in the CO's carrier.
Okay, well done, the carrier provided the communication from that on. Wagner is the guy who was driving me in the Jeep, and he was killed, and I was wounded.
Well, when you went into the attack itself, were you walking, or were you in the Jeep?
I was walking, yeah.
You were walking. Uh-huh. That was the Jeep not too terribly far away?
It was coming out somewhere. Somewhere.
There was some place, was it on that attack, or was it between, what's the name of the airfield? Remember we got bombed by the RAF?
Oh, yeah.
In some place, I remember having to jump into the ditch and we saw these, you could see the insignia on the plane.
That wasn't the big attack, was it? The big bombing that comes
When did that come?
Well, that was later on. It must have been later on, George. It must have been when you went down to Fontenay.
Yeah, I think...
Fontenay was a night attack.
Well, I know there's one about a week... No, it's about August the 6th or 7th. When there, again, it's a massive air raid, and they bomb very, very close to the start line, and they kill and wound a number of Poles and Canadians and everybody else.
When we were going... No, this is, I recall, we were going along, strung out along the line, going down the road, and I think it was before we were actually in operation, so I think it was somewhere between Lance and Carpiquet, or Carpiquet and Conte.
Yeah, that could be. God knows there was enough...
No. Yeah. So this wasn't a heavy casualty situation.
Right? Yeah.
It was just annoying being bombed by...
Yeah.
I came back to hospital ship with, Rod Keller.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he was so upset. Well, being knocked out of the world by some damn drugstore cowboy from Hoboken, New Jersey.
Lovely.
Yeah. Well, thank you, gentlemen. Great. Okay. All help to... Clearing the picture.
It's a problem piecing it together years afterwards.
Who was commanding the SSR at the time? Reg Matthews? And what happened to him?
Whoops, this went down. Who the hell?
Freddie Cliff.
There was one of them.
Was commanding, but Freddie went over to command four brigades from Sherwood left. And left Reg Matthews, and I often wondered what happened to Reg Matthews.
Well, there was one that was bounced, as you probably know.
Here's his own sketch. Let's see what they say.
What is it, the 20th? No, that's Cliff.
Freddie Cliff? Yeah, well, then he left during his battle sometime.
Yeah, Cliff took over from to replace Lett, and Major Matthews.
That's right. That's right.
He took over.
Right, Matthews.
Yeah. Now, are they the one? You mean what happened to Matthews?
Yeah.
I don't know if he signed the war down. No, there's a Lieutenant Colonel B. Stock.
Stock took over.
Commanding. But Matthews, mind you, just took over.
Yeah, he was the 2IC on the Freddie Hill.
Oh, I see. Now, this one, here's an E.W. Thomas Major, Temporary Planning Officer, South Saskatchewan. Let's see, Matthews Matthews, maybe. Major Courtney, Captain Black.
Both Bruce Thomas, I think. Both Matthews and Bruce McDonald, I think.
Major Adams?
Yeah. That's part of the trouble.
Oh, here we are. During the evening, Lieutenant Colonel Cliff arrived back to take over command of the South Saskatchewan Regiment.
What's the date of that?
That's on the 25th.
Oh, he came back?
Yeah.
Was that right?
Yeah.
So that after you built the brigade? That's not as bad as the evening. When he came back?
Yeah. Now, here, whoops. On the 26th, it says, Lieutenant Colonel Cliff held a no group, 1900 hours. Where the officers were detailed to the various companies and positions, Major J.S. Edmondson became second in command.
Now, he's in Victoria if you want to get, get the stuff some caption.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Tony's here.
Does he know?
Got your phone book will find right now.
Yeah, his phone book's under that chair you're sitting on.
He's there, and he'd be a good guy to get hold of. If you know, if you're interested in the 6th Brigade,
Brother Bill, if I can see it looks like Edmondson is picking over with the
M-U-N-D,
isn't it? Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, they have an E-D-M-O-N-D.
M-O-N-D.
That's what it is.
Here you are, John Lefkratz, and 1895 Hillcrest.
1895 Hillcrest?
1895 Hillcrest, and phone number is 477.
477?
9479.
9479.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. Hillcrest, that has to go to the head.
Yeah. Yeah, so sort of along that...
George Kitchen.
That's
right. Well, I agree. Yeah, George is moved. George is over in...
Mount Tommy.
Mount Tommy, yeah.
Now here's some changes here. This is Colonel Cook's return to town this afternoon. Now this is on the 22nd. Major Adams became temporary command, set the scaffold. Major Adams became 2IC. Again, I can't see anything like this. Well, it says in the attack, the regiment lost 15 officers and 209 people killed. This is the famous one when they got speared. The company commanders for the attack were A Company Major Well missing, Major Edmondson present, Captain Doyle missing, Major Kicken present. Again, it's definitely mentioned Major Matthew. Maybe he, Major Edmondson. That's so cute. I love the name. Oh, here we are. He's there on the 20th. Maybe Matthew saw Big Goku. Yeah, he may have been bounced. What's his name? From all I gather,
Freddie Cliff came back to take over the order.
But they were quick to bounce. I wonder if you're living.
Well, Bart.
Thank you.
Well, sir.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, most kind of pleasure.
Yeah.
You can see where, I expect to be shell-shocked myself.